So I wonder if you have ever found yourself in that situation where a friend who isn't a Christian approaches you and says, "Hey, why are you even a Christian?" Or they might say, "Oh, you go to church, you do that thing. Why do you even bother with that?" Or they might ask you questions like, "Oh, you are a Christian, so therefore, what do you think of all this stuff that's going on around the world at the moment? Or what do you think about this suffering?" Or people might even be angry at you, or people might even have sincere questions that you're confused about as well. What I want to do this morning is give you a little practical tool for how you might start to talk about God with your friends. I also hope that what I give you this morning will be really helpful for each of us as we just keep growing in our relationship with God. So what I want to do is give you something that is a practical tool for thinking about how to talk about God, but also hopefully just a way of understanding God and a way of getting our head around him a little bit that can help us as we read our Bible or as we pray or as we come to church or as we come to things like Soul Survivor or go to youth groups, whatever it might be. Now, the disclaimer is this: God is utterly mind-blowing and we can't get our head around him. And so I don't even remotely for a minute pretend to be able to accurately describe the fullness of the character of God to you just now, and I don't pretend to have all the answers. But what I want to share with you is something that I found really, really helpful for both how I think about God, but also how I can help other people think about God. So that's the plan. Just shout out some of the things. What are the first things that you would start to say if someone who wasn't a Christian asked you to describe God? Loving, great. Supportive, fantastic. A friend. Loyal, was that? I'm so. Father, oh, great, yeah. Father, God, dad, brilliant. What else? Something over here. What was that? Wife? Oh, life, okay, yeah. That makes much more sense than wife. Yeah. We're created in his image. Brilliant. Fantastic. Anything else? Savior. Brilliant. And then at the back? Kind. Brilliant. Anything else? Good guy. All around good guy. Yeah, go for it. Sorry? Flawless. Brilliant. Fantastic. One more to describe God. All-knowing. Yeah, fantastic. Normally people say something like indescribable. That's the good, like, catch-all word. Did anyone say indescribable in their group? Yeah, brilliant, fantastic. Let's turn to the Bible, see what the Bible says. This is always a good idea. But before we do that, I just want to say your view of God is so important. What you think of when you think about God, it is pivotal. It will change the way you think about just about everything else in life. If you think about the fact that if God is who he says he is, then what you think about him will influence every single area of your life. A guy called A.W. Tozer, who's an amazing Christian author, basically read any of his books, they're all amazing. He says this in The Pursuit of God. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So the way that you think about God is the thing that will shape you and drive a lot of the decisions you make and the way that you look at life and the way that you talk to people. So this is why it's important to get it, get a hold of what we think about God. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to go to verse 25. This is what Isaiah 40, starting at verse 25, says. To whom, this is God speaking through Isaiah, by the way. He says this: "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So I want to give you two concepts about God that I think do a pretty good job of encompassing something of what God is like. And like I said earlier, my disclaimer is, of course, we're never going to be able to capture everything that God is like. But from this, I want to give you two words to describe God. First of all, God is creator. And second of all, God is carer. So creator and carer. Creator and carer. And I reckon most of the things that we know about God, we can categorize into either this is something about the fact that he is the creator, or this is something about the fact that he cares. And the best way for us to start to talk about God is to think in terms of both of those. And I want to unpack both of them. But first of all, creator. It says, those first verses, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and strength and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. God is the creator of the universe. God made everything that we can see. God is in charge of everything. God said to the stars, hey, come into being. And they came into being. Someone was talking about that. Andy Croft was talking about that in his seminar yesterday. God just said, hey, light. Bam, light happens. God says, stars. Stars happen. God says, sea. The sea comes. God is the creator of absolutely everything. And God knows everything that there is ever to know. So like right now, God knows the exact angle that every single one of our backs are sitting against our chair. God knows that. Right now, God knows how many hairs are on your head. That's the one that we always talk about. Right now, God knows... everybody scratch your head and then put your hand back down. Great. God knows how fast your hand was traveling as you went up there and then back down. God knows every single little thing about your body. He knows about how intricate it is and how well made it is and how all the little cells work together and how that all comes to be. He also knows about the heavens and the earth. He made everything. He knows the height of Mount Everest to the millimeter. He knows how many birds there are right now around Lendrick Muir. He knows how many droplets of rain there are in your tent at the moment. He knows how long the queue is to get to the showers at the moment. Sadly, he doesn't seem to be doing anything about that at the moment, but we'll keep praying into that. But God is the creator. And first of all, if we can start to talk about God by thinking about him in terms of creator, then we're in a good place. But the fact is that God as creator means that we can't even get our head around him, because God created us, it means his ways are so much higher than our ways. It says that in Isaiah chapter 55. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So God is creator. He is in charge of everything. And that means that he is the king of everything. And it is increasingly controversial today to say that God is king, or to say that anyone is king other than yourself. We are living in an age now where I'm king of my life, and you're king of your life, and if I are queen of your life. And if I do anything to suggest anything other than the fact that you have authority over your life, then I might be offending you, or I might be... out of line to suggest that. But we know that because God is the creator, God is in charge of absolutely everything. And because God is the creator, his ways are way more mind-blowing than we can ever get our head around. And because God is creator, God's thoughts are way higher than we can ever think. I have a little bit of a confession for you. I've never seen Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Has I might have just lost credibility instantly from all the geeks in the room. But who's never seen Lord of the Rings either? Oh, wow. Oh, brilliant. Okay. That's good. Maybe another confession then. I've never seen all of Harry Potter. Is that more? Yeah. Who hasn't seen Harry Potter either? Yeah. That's okay. Harry Potter's about wizards and witches and anything. It's heathen. You don't want to watch it. I've never seen Lord of the Rings. And by the way, I haven't like deliberately never seen it. I've just like never gone out my way to see it. I don't really know anything about Lord of the Rings. But if you take together all of the films and all of the additional features, how many hours do we reckon worth of footage that would be? 20? I've heard 12, heard 20. It's loads of hours worth of footage. Now, if you were to sit me down in front of the television and play me a split second of The Lord of the Rings, and then I was to try and describe to you the plot of Lord of the Rings, you'd be like, you just have no idea. I would be like, little hairy people that like jewelry? I don't really know. But if I was to try to describe to you what Lord of the Rings is like and what's going on with all the characters and how they're operating, you would be like, James, you're completely out of your mind to even attempt to do that because you've only seen this tiny little snippet of a humongous trilogy. And when we start to try to really describe God as creator, it's a little bit like we've had this snapshot of God. And if we start trying to say, here, I know how to describe God, then we're as mad as if I was to try to describe the Lord of the Rings from seeing 1 second. Now, the snippet that we get of God is brilliant and it's good and it blows our mind. But there's even more than that. And so let's start thinking about God as creator. God is in charge of everything. God is king. And God made everything to be. And the thing about that as well is that some of the characteristics of God, when you think about him being creator, that's around him being holy, about him being perfect. It's around him being the judge. It's around him being the father, around him being the king. We'll all have had different experiences of those types of characteristics. So judge, for example, some people really struggle with the idea of God as judge. Now, the thing is because God is creator and because his ways are higher than our ways, when we say that God is judge and he will judge us at the end of the age, we are talking about God who is completely perfect in the way that he will judge and whose ways of judging are way higher than our concept of judging. But some of us, our experience of judgment, it might be quite a good experience. We might have had experiences of teachers that are really fair and teachers that judge and discipline well within class. Or some of us might just have experience of judges within the context of like The Voice or Britain's Got Talent, and we think about God being a judge, like we'll pop up in front of him and he'll press a big red buzzer of whether or not we're going to make it through. Or some of us will have experience of countries where the authorities are corrupt and where judgment is actually completely atrocious. And so you can see how even just if I say something like God is judge, that will conjure up loads of different images to each of us. Again, if we say God is the king, then loads of images come up. If we say God is love, loads of images come up. But because God is creator, it means that he is perfect and he is way higher than our thoughts and he is mind-blowing. So first of all, we think about God as creator. Then we move on to think about God as carer. So it says in the last little chunk of the passage that we read, after hearing that we can't compare him to anyone, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So even though God is this incredible creator and in charge of everything, he's also the one who cares. And he cares, even though he's huge, he comes down and he gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. When we hope in the Lord, our strength is renewed. God is carer as well. The whole thing about God is that he is relentlessly loving. Now, of course, I don't have a lot of time to go into this, but how to start to talk about God, we can't ignore the fact that God is part of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We could talk for months and months about the Trinity. Somebody the other day actually said to me, oh, because God is a trilogy, but the Trinity is what they meant. But when God is God the carer, we first see how much God loves in the fact that he is three in one. Because we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in perfect relationship with each other. So before God did anything, he was loving as part of being three in one. And so then God, out of being the carer, out of having this amazing love, then became the creator. So he cares so much that he created us. But then in creating us and knowing us, he then cares more for us. So you see how it kind of goes back and forth, like he cares because he creates and creates because he cares. And if we can think about the fact that God is both of those things, then we start thinking, wow, God is mind-blowing. But we also start getting even more of a fullness of who God is. Quick note on how much God's love and God's care is just incredible. If you flick to Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite passages, but Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says this. Sorry, verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul got it. Paul got that when God is carer, which he is, he relentlessly loves us. And there's nothing that we can ever do to separate us from the love of God. There's nothing we can ever do to stop him caring about us. That's why, as creator, he knows about the number of hairs in your head. As carer, he loves that that's the number of hairs you have in your head, whether you've got lots or whether you've got not a lot. God loves you relentlessly. And there's nothing we can do to separate us from his love. I think there's two types of people in the world. The first type of person, when they go to wake up in the morning, the night before they go to bed, they'll go to their phone, they'll turn on their alarm, say 7 o'clock, turn it on, and then they'll go to sleep. Then there's a second type of person, and I'm the second type of person. When you go to bed wanting to get up in the morning, you go to your alarm, you think, okay, I need to get up at 7 o'clock. I'll set an alarm for 6:30, 6:35, 6:40, 6:45, 6:55, 7 o'clock, 7:05, 7:10, 7:15, and then just in case, like a 7:45, just in case I missed that. Give me a cheer if you're the first type of person with just one alarm. Give me a cheer if you're the second type of person. Yeah, absolutely. God's love is most like the second type of alarm. See, there's a danger that we can think about God's love as being like that first alarm. And I really do admire people that are the first type of people. I wish I had the confidence to be that first type of person. I wish that I could say, one alarm, bam, that'll do me, I'll wake up. But I think lots of us can think that God's care and God's love is a bit like that one alarm. If we miss it, if we hit snooze or if we turn it off, then that's it, we've missed our chance. Whereas actually God's love is like that second type of alarm where it is utterly relentless. Now, it is so annoying. I even had it this morning when I tried to get up. My alarm went off and I hit snooze. And then my second alarm went off and I hit snooze again. But then the first alarm then came back and started ringing. So then I snoozed that. So then the second snooze then came back and then the third snooze. And then you end up basically with this completely relentless battle of alarms coming against you. And you're like, no, I'm trying to turn it off. And then it's like, bam, in your face. And you're like, no, I want to turn it off. I want to turn it off. And it keeps coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back. That's what God's love is like. When you say to God, God, I don't want your love. When you say to God, God, I don't care about your love. Or when you run away from God, God relentlessly pursues you. And then you even notice, like on the alarm, when you end up hitting snooze, and then that same alarm comes back to haunt you, there's some things that God says to you, hey, I love you, even though this is what you're going through. And you're like, no, no, I don't want to hear that. And then you'll then find out later on down the line that he still loves you regardless of that thing. And you're like, God, he gives you as many chances as we could possibly get to know his love. And when God is carer, which he is, then we realize that he relentlessly, relentlessly, relentlessly loves. It's just like that alarm. There's nothing we can do to stop him from trying to show how much he loves us, trying to show how much he loves us, trying to show how much he loves us. So God is creator and God is carer. And we want to think about him in both of those terms. When you start talking about God to your friends, think, okay, what does this mean to have God as creator? And what does this mean to have God as carer? And we want to start thinking about both of those. Because if you just have God as creator, then what we end up doing is accidentally painting this like pie in the sky who's distant and powerful and who, you know, like wants to just crush us and kill us and destroy us and all that. And if we only focus on carer, then we just end up with the like, Jesus is my boyfriend and it doesn't really matter what I do. But actually, God is both. And that is what makes him so incredible. Because he's the creator, he knows us. He knows us intimately and he made us. And because he's the carer, he cares about what happens to us. That's why the best way we can live our life is when we're in line with what God wants for us. Because as creator, God made us and God knows what's best for us. But as carer, God wants what's best for us. And as we can start talking about him to our friends, thinking about him as creator and as carer, then we can start bringing the fullness of him. Now, like I say, his thoughts are way higher than our thoughts. And his ways of doing things are way higher than our ways of doing things. And so naturally, what's going to happen is we're going to come a cropper as we try to describe God to people because we just can't do him justice. I was thinking it's a wee bit like this. God is all these amazing characteristics, like God is loving and God is holy and God is just and God is kind and God is love and God is king. He's like all these things packed together. If you can imagine going back to the days of like Downton Abbey times, like 130 years ago or something like that, can you imagine trying to describe an iPhone to someone from Downton Abbey times? You would say, oh, so I've got this device, and what I can do is I can send messages to people. I can listen to any music that I ever want. I can also see what the weather's doing in Australia. I can FaceTime somebody that's up beside the moon at the moment. I can also keep a note of what I've got coming up over the next while. I've also got my diary on it. I can also take pictures of myself and draw all over it and send it to somebody else, and then it'll disappear as soon as they get it. But it's really fun when we do that. It would totally blow the minds of those people from Downton Abbey days, like back then. Like if you described an iPhone, they would probably think of like a gramophone player with a notebook stuck to the side with a camera on the top and with a barometer attached to it or something. And you would have to say to them, no, you have no idea what technology is going to look like. And you have no idea how we're going to be able to cram all these things into this one little device. Like you just can't even get your head around what's possible. And so it is the same when we try to describe God to people. We might say he's creator and he's carer, and we give all the aspects of that. But inevitably, we're going to have some idea of what God is in our head that is nothing like how incredible he is. And that's where we can have faith and where we can relax, because we're like, do you know what? It's a good job we're following a God that we can't even get our head around, because if we could get our head around him, then he wouldn't be God and he wouldn't be worth following. So God is creator and God is carer. And of course, ultimately, we see the kind of digestible, understandable version of what God is like in Jesus. Jesus came down to earth fully God and fully man. And one of the things he did was he showed us what God would act like if God was a man, because God was a man in Jesus. And so as we're trying to describe God, as we're trying to talk about him, and as we're even trying to become more like him, become more godly, then what we can do is we can look at Jesus. It's a bit like, you know, when you're doing a jigsaw, what do you do when you're stuck as to what piece to put in where? What do you do when you're doing a jigsaw? Look at the box, thank you. You look at the box because the box gives you the picture of what it should look like as it's complete. And when we're living our lives, or when we're talking about God's, the equivalent of looking at the box of life is just opening up your Bible and looking at Jesus, because Jesus shows us the complete picture of what it is to be human, and Jesus shows us the complete picture of what it looks like to live your life to the full. So God is creator and carer, and we see him digestibly through Jesus. Often the best way to talk about God is simply to just say, hey, this is what God has done in my life. And if we can use our life to get across the fact that God is both creator and carer, then we can see God do amazing things through us and through our friends. Let me just give you two quick little thoughts. First of all, use the creator and carer thing any time you're thinking anything to do with God. I know that's suitably vague, but if you're reading your Bible, then a really easy way of having a quiet time is read a Bible passage and say, what does this teach me about God as creator, and what does this teach me about God as the carer? That's a really easy way to get your head around something. Or as you're looking at Jesus, say, what does this show me about God as creator? What does it show me about God as carer? Or if you're having a tough conversation with a friend about God, think, does this person need to hear more about the fact that God is the creator and that he's perfect, and for us to get our head around him is a bit like describing Lord of the Rings after seeing a snippet? Or does this person need to know that God's mission is to relentlessly share his love, like the iPhone alarm? You use it as a little scanner. Even is helpful for me as I lead, I'm a youth worker in Edinburgh, and as I lead our youth ministry, I'm thinking, am I being full in the way that I'm describing God? Am I helping teach our young people about how God is the creator and how God is the carer? Because I must admit, my tendency is to drip just into the creator thing. And we'll all have a tendency to fall into one or the other. And that's amazing, because that's got to do with how God has spoken to us and the things that he's revealed to us about himself. But let's go about the fullness of him. So God is creator. We can't get our heads around him. He is perfect. He's brilliant, like the Lord of the Rings, seeing a snapshot of it. And God is carer. He relentlessly loves, just like the iPhone alarm. And then just one last thought on the way that God operates. So God wants everybody on earth to come to know him as creator and carer. He wants everyone on earth to come into relationship with him. He wants that because he's the carer. He wants that because he relentlessly loves them. But he also wants that because he knows that as creator, he made them for it. You and I were made for a relationship with him. Now, because he's the creator, he could click his cosmic fingers and everyone could suddenly instantly be in relationship with him. And we could all be having this amazing kind of passionate worship time with him. But for some reason, he doesn't do that. Why does he not do that? I don't know, but I do know that he's creator, and so I trust him because my ways are smaller than his ways. But it seems that the way God tries to tell people about him, generally, is through partnership with us. And that is utterly mind-blowing. Why on earth would the God of the universe choose to use us to tell people about him? It's just madness that God would go into partnership. I saw this thing on Facebook, it was about a year or two ago, from the Sky TV show called Dogs Might Fly. Did anyone see that? Basically, it sounds nuts, but they taught dogs how to fly. So there's a video of a dog and a man in a plane, just like a little tiny plane, and the man is a pilot and he's flying the plane, and then they hand the controls over to the dog. And so just like if you Google like dog flying a plane or something, then you'll find it on YouTube. But what happens is the pilot takes his hand off the wheel and the dog's sitting with his little paws on top of the steering wheel of the, I don't even know, do you call it a steering wheel in a plane? I don't know. Anyway, the steering wheel thing, and the dog's just flying the plane. And as an onlooker, I was looking at that thinking, that is stupid. Like, why on earth would you let a dog fly a plane? And then I realized that's a little bit like when God trusts us with his mission. Like, the pilot is way more qualified to fly the plane than the dog is. But for whatever reason, because the pilot loves his dog, I suppose, he wants the dog to fly the plane, even though the dog is a complete shambles. And so it is with us. How mind-blowing is it that God would choose to partner with us to share his love and share who he is with our friends and with our families? A couple of Bible passages where we see God entering partnership. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram. And God basically sets out the mission of the whole Bible, where God says to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God says to Abraham, hey, all people on earth are going to be blessed through you. Why does God do that? I don't know, but he goes into partnership with us. And then a New Testament example is Paul, who was Saul. And in Acts chapter 9, we read about Saul, who was this bad guy who would go around persecuting Christians, and he was a nasty piece of work. And he has this amazing conversion where he meets Jesus. And God then calls this disciple Ananias to go and get Saul, who's now called Paul. And understandably, Ananias is like, I don't really want to go because I've heard that he does bad things to Christians. And God says this to him in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. God says, go to Ananias. This man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. God says, I'm going to partner with Paul. And that is utterly mind-blowing that God would do that. But as we start to talk about God, let's remember the fact that he partners with us. And it is ridiculous that he would trust us to do that. It's ridiculous that he would trust me just now to come and speak to you guys. It's ridiculous that he wouldn't just click his fingers and we all just become perfect. But yet he uses us. And like I say, I don't know why he partners with us. But as I think about God as creator and carer, I realize, do you know what? God wants to partner with us. As creator, God made you and God knows what you're good at. So God wants to partner with you because he knows what you're good at. He's like, James, I know that I've made you to be able to speak. And so God says, James, I'm going to partner with you and you can speak for me. He knows that he's made some of you to be kind, some of you to be generous, some of you to be able to speak, some of you to be able to articulate things well to your friends. He's made each of us individually. And so as we think about God as creator, we realize, wow, he wants to partner with us because he just understands how we work and he can use us because he's the creator. But then we think about God as carer and we realize, do you know the reason God wants to partner with us? It's because he just wants to hang out with us. He just wants to spend time with us. He looks at me and he says, hey, James, I know that you feel me close to you when you speak or when you're preparing to speak. And so as creator, I've made you to be like that, and I'm going to partner with you to do that. But as carer, I just want to partner with you because I just want to partner with you because I just want to partner with you. And so what would it look like if each one of us went out in partnership with God? If God showed us as creator how he could use us, but as carer, that he just simply wants to be our partner. That we get to join him in telling everybody about him. And so as we're thinking about God, we can think about him as creator. Like the Lord of the Rings, for a split second, we can't quite get our heads around him, but we know that he's good, we know that he's perfect, we know that he's in charge. And we can think about him as carer. We know that, like the iPhone alarm, when you've got them all set, he will relentlessly love. There's nothing we can do to stop him from loving us. And so if we can start thinking about God and talking about God in terms of creator and carer and getting both of those, then I think we're on a good way to start talking about him.